Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 17th day of June, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Pan-European Nationalism. Again, that's Pan, P-A-N, European Nationalism. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumri Ambeth. We will take calls during this hour. This is your program as well as mine, a chance for Jacob Israel to get together, so don't be bashful. If you you have something that's on your mind about current events, politics, or the Bible, again, feel free to call in. We do ask that callers remain civil with one another. Try not to walk over each other or talk on top of each other. Also, be careful of your language, since we do have mixed audience. Our website is PastorDan.net and Pastor Dan's all together, no spaces, PastorDan.net. I try to keep that updated on a daily basis, especially with some of the censorship that's starting to happen and get more frequent amongst the email platforms. A lot of stuff is bouncing back. I get a hold of the people with the email address. They say, well, I didn't do it. So what we know is artificial intelligence. It's kind of interesting. They developed artificial intelligence telling us it would make the world a better place, et cetera, et cetera. But actually, it was our tax dollars used to develop it. Probably by DARPA once again, the military and the government working in collusion with the corporations to develop this so that our enemies could use it as a tool to calculate on how to bring us down. If you think about it, everything that's happening in the world right now is coordinated through networks. So this electronic networking and artificial intelligence, and some of it is man-made, of course, but the robotics, the algorithms, etc., all of that is working in collusion, not for the benefit of mankind, but to take mankind down to enslavement. And people say, well, Dan, that sounds a little bit far-fetched, really? Well, 6 months ago, if we'd said the whole world would be locked down from a fake pandemic, businesses by the hundreds of thousands would be closing. Neighbors would be ratting on each other over whether they wear a mask or not or stay locked up in their homes. Everybody would have laughed at that too. Guess what? You're in it. You're in it. You and I live in it. Now, most of the people I know don't go along with it. They go about their business. I don't wear a mask. They don't wear a mask. But at some point, they're going to do here what they're doing in Europe and other places, and particularly in China. At first, what they'll do is try to shame you into doing it. Then when that doesn't work, they will fine you anywhere from $500 to $1,000. And then after that will come the threat of imprisonment, and then after that, the Bolsheviks will just shoot you on the streets. This is a Bolshevik takeover. If you call it anything other than that, you're foolish. Because that's exactly what's happening. This is textbook Bolshevik Zionist Jew methodology, no different than what they used in other countries such as China, Cambodia, Vietnam, Korea, and most certainly in the Ukraine and Russia 100 years ago, where tens of millions of white Christian men, women, and children were raped, beaten, starved, murdered, assassinated. again, by the tens of millions. All this has been verified, by the way, by many organizations, whereas the Holocaust, which is a joke and a hoax, can't be verified by anything other than Jewish propaganda and Jewish money that just keeps pumping it out there through the mainstream media. And this so-called Lane, okay, I got a listener who says the audio is not working, so he needs to re-log or whatever, because several people have already told me the audio is fine. So anyway, they can get away with this exactly as they did 100 years ago. They can do it now, only easier, actually, because we've invited the Antichrist into our homes through the electronic toilets. Some people call them radio or television, but they're actually electronic toilets. And why is that? Because Jews own them, and they are toilet makers, okay? Personalities like Howard Stern, which are vulgar beyond belief, many other Jewish so-called comedians, vulgar to the maximum. Even Robin Williams. A lot of people think of Mork and Mindy with Robin Williams and Mrs. Doubtfire. But people that have actually talked to me that have been to his live performances, he was very vulgar. Okay, typical Jew. So thank you, Angel. She says, great audio. So the point being, once again, you know, we're told that we're just off our rockers, that we're anti-Jew, blah, 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 whatever. Whenever you point out what they're up to, when the fact of the matter is that it's very much the truth. So, as Henry David Thoreau said, for every 1,000 people that are swinging at the branches of the tree of evil, there's only one paying attention to the root, chopping at the root. And that's our problem as a race, okay? A nation and a race are synonymous, okay? You can't be a nation if you're not of the same race. That goes back into antiquity, and it goes to the root Latin root words of the word nation, natal, nativity, okay? So nation implies racial kinship. That's why our founding fathers, when they said one nation under Yahweh God, they meant one race of people, just like when they wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. They said, we do establish this country for our posterity. That means our descendants. Okay, well, last time I checked, a white man and a white woman have white children. So the founding fathers were all white European men. Their wives were all white European women. So when they said we establish this nation, one race within the borders of this country for our posterity, they were talking about us, you and me, folks. They weren't talking about this flood of aliens that have come in thanks to the work of guys like the Zionist Jew Jacob Javits and the rest of his horde of Jewish cabal back in 1965, when they worked together like termites to undermine and destroy our common sense immigration policy. Frosty Wooldridge, that I had on here a few weeks ago, came onto this program back in the early 2000 time frame, about 15 years ago. And we talked extensively night after night about this unarmed invasion of these aliens coming into our country and what it's doing to it. Well, you're seeing the results of that. They have flooded into this country. They now control many of your businesses. They've infiltrated your military, your police departments, your sheriff's departments. They've infiltrated your schools. They've infiltrated entertainment and media, and they've infiltrated your government. Now, all of that is in direct violation of biblical law, common sense, and the founding documents of this nation. Now, you sit back, and I'm talking to white people now, you, dumber than rocks. You sit back in amazement that your government's behaving the way it is today. Okay? Well, for the low IQ white man out there, take a look at everybody that is orchestrating the criminality that's going on in our country today. Okay? You have this supposed expert, Anthony Fauci, who's nothing more than a criminal. Okay? He's not one of us. You have that woman, Birx, B-I-R-X, Birx. She's not one of us. You've got Donald Trump, whatever the hell he is. He's not one of us. Okay? And I'm throwing Catholics in there, too. Because the original founding fathers did not trust Catholics because of their allegiance to a foreign element named the Pope. They called it popery, and they considered the Pope the Antichrist. Because in many ways, the Pope operates as the Antichrist. Okay? So this country was founded by white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, the very people you will not see represented in government at any level, legislative, executive, or the courts. Okay? You and I, as white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, have been displaced and disenfranchised, and we wonder why the country's going to hell. Our ancestors built this nation. Whether anybody likes to hear it or not, doesn't matter. Truth is truth. Our ancestors built this nation. A lot of atrocities over the last couple hundred years, or up to 250 years, that are attributed to you and I were actually committed by either whites in the form of Catholics, or they were performed by Jews who are mistaken for whites. Either way, they're both examples of sheep, or I should say wolves, in sheep's clothing. Catholics are not part of us because they have their allegiance to a foreign enemy named the Pope. Jews are not part of us because racially they're not of our kind, and they are beholden to their god, Lucifer, and they adhere to their cultural ties to Tel Aviv and their fellow criminals in Itzalai. Either way, they're not part of our group, our core group. Now, you can sit back in bewilderment about all this nonsense going on, but until you come to grips with that fact, you're never going to solve this problem. Okay? As Henry David Thoreau said, you've got to focus on the root. If you can't figure out what the root of our problem is, you're not going to win. Now, I told some folks today that take a lesson from Sun Tzu, who, by the way, was an Aryan. I know a lot of people try to point to these statues where he looks Oriental, but Sun Tzu, just like Buddha, Confucius, many of these figures from the past that are given credit for being very wise and et cetera, they were not modern-day Chinamen or Asians, whatever. They were Aryans who lived in those areas thousands of years ago. As far as Buddha, he lived in the northwestern part of India, which at that time was Gandhari, which was settled by the Brahmins, who are the white people who later got absorbed into the country we call India today. But they were the Brahmins. The Brahmins were the highest of the caste because they were the whites. Okay? So, hold on a minute here. Somebody's having trouble getting the audio. Technology. So the point of it is that Sun Tzu told us that if you want to win in a battle, you must know yourself and your enemy, both. Most white men today don't have a clue as to who the hell they are or how they got here, because as Karl Marx and other Bolshevik Jews said many years ago, if you separate a people from their history, they can be easily persuaded. Well, amen, brother. That's exactly what they did. And how did they do it? They infiltrated our education system. infiltrated the education system and filled our kids' heads full of Bolshevik nonsense. And they tried to tell us race doesn't matter. We don't need to study the history of the white man. We need to diversify. We need to expand. Why do we need to expand? If I want to learn about Africa or Asia or Australia or anything else, I can do that on my own. School is to teach the importance of who I am, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Give me the basics. Anything beyond that is up to me as an individual. Should not be part of a, quote, indoctrination program. And that's what the public school system has become. And our universities are hotbeds of Marxism and communism. So if you don't know who you are, they've taken away that much from you. Now they've confused you as to who your enemy is as well, with censorship through the use of their terrible power of the purse, as Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach said, and with their terrible power of taking away our banking system, our currency, and now having it in the hands of central bankers. They have untold wealth, especially after Tricky Dick took the last tie that we had to precious metals, which is a anchor to keep away from runaway inflation. Tricky Dick went along with his masters, his Zionist masters, and he took that away. Roosevelt was one of the first, and then Tricky Dick took the final blow, which unhinged the printing presses. Actually, we say the printing presses, but they're not even printing money anymore. They don't even have to do that. They just have to punch keys on a keyboard. And they can generate as much wealth as they want. Because simpletons like us go to work every day for what they produce with their keyboard. Because we don't have enough sense to know that we're working for magical digits. This whole system's going to go up in smoke. Why? Because the book of Revelation says so. When it's the merchants and the rulers in this corrupt satanic world that are doing the weeping and wailing, guess what? It's their system that goes up in smoke. Now, when this Babylonian system dies, do you think it's going to hurt the Amish? Nope, they're going to be fine. Do you think it's going to hurt the preppers that are hiding away on their little 10, 20-acre homesteads all over the country? Nope, not going to hurt them. Because people for the past 10 years that I know of are already working together to do things the old ways. Okay, think about this, folks. Do you need all the trinkets that Babylon creates in order to have a meaningful life? The answer to that's no, you don't. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say Father Yahweh promised you all of the glitz and glitter that the Jew offers you through their mercantile system. Okay, you don't need diamond rings to be a successful man or woman. You don't need a Ferrari or a Lamborghini car to drive around in. You don't need a yacht to float around on the water with to be successful, according to our Father. Now, we have untold riches that belong to us that we could use for doing beneficial works for mankind, but our people are more obsessed with materialism. And that's why the Jew has so easily bought off our people. All they got to do is wave a fake counterfeit dollar bill in front of them and they'll do pretty much anything they're told. Why do you think the employees are hurting their health wearing these damnable masks in the store? Because their employer told them they have to do it. And if they don't do it, they'll get fired, which means what? They won't get any more magic digits in their electronic account where they can go buy Babylon's babble or baubles. Little trinkets, fancy cars that talk to you and drive themselves, pretty clothes, pretty jewelry, of a house four times bigger than you need, more cars than you need, more toys than you need, more clothes than you need, more shoes than you need, more entertainment. You sure don't need any more entertainment. More sports than you need. And on it goes. It's the great deception. And our people fall for it. It's absolutely sickening to see. Part of my job right now for the remnant is my time spent on the air and on phone calls bringing our people off the ledge. Now, that's a term some of you may not be familiar with. Calling people in off the ledge, if you've ever watched old TV shows where the police department and the fire department show up because some guy's climbed out on a ledge and he's threatening to jump off and kill himself. Okay? So they send up somebody with a calm voice and that is trusted by this individual, usually a relative or a friend or whatever, and they go up and try to, quote, talk him off the ledge. All right, I spend a lot of time talking Israelites off the ledge. Now, it took 15 minutes for Ralph to log in tonight. Wow, I guess they don't want us to chat with each other. Excuse me. So can you imagine the anxiety, the suicidal tendencies, the Prozac consumed, the comfort food being eaten by the masses who don't know what we know? If this is affecting the remnant as tough as it is, can you imagine those that don't have our Father in their corner? Can you imagine those that don't have the knowledge of who we are? You see, an identity person has the benefit of knowing who he is and how he got here, because we study real history, historicity, and the world is taught a bunch of bullshit in the public school systems. And excuse my French, but you know, I'm beyond the point of caring much about decorum 24/7, because we're in a war and it's going to go hot any day now. So in effect, I want to verbally kick everybody in the ass that I can to wake them up. And also because I was having a great day, and just before it was time to come on the air, all of a sudden I got these palpitations, and I can't figure out how and why. Now, maybe there's something to this bombardment from all this 4G and 5G. Or it could be some other reason. I'm not saying it's necessarily that, but I find it kind of strange that I've been feeling good for days, and then 45 minutes before it's time to go on the air, all of a sudden I'm feeling a bit lightheaded, and the heart palpitations are going on. Just strange. Strange. But the point of it is that in this warfare, we need to stay focused on, again, who we are, how we got here, and who the enemy is. And I agree with Sun Tzu in his book, The Art of War, and in the Book of Numbers when it talked about Gideon and his army, because we need to focus on Gideon's army for this end time scenario, okay? We need to focus on Malachi chapter 4, Ezekiel chapter 25, Obadiah verse 18 for these end times. And Gideon was successful because he approached the battle with Yahweh on his side. He obeyed Yahweh. He got rid of all the men in his army that were fearful, which is most of our people. They're so afraid. They're afraid of their own shadows. Then he got rid of people that don't have good discernment, maybe because of lower IQ or they're easily distracted. So he was down to only 300 men. One man out of 100 made the cut. So there's your ratio. You're going to end up with about one person out of 100 that's fit to fight. But that's okay, because we have hundreds of millions of people, so that's still going to be a relatively large army. He said in Ezekiel 37 that when the valley of dead and dry bones, that's the spiritually dead white people, when they finally get the message, they finally wake up, they will become a vast and mighty army. And that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about this pan-European nationalism that Jan Lamprecht on his website, which, by the way, you can read about that and many other topics. His website is History Reviewed, and that's all together, historyreviewed.com. And he has a lot of information there of interest for our people. But he was talking about pan-European, which pan means all of our kinsmen, wherever on this earth they may be, nationalism, okay, which is a biblical premise. Leviticus and Deuteronomy say that we are to stay racially pure and to keep our governing officials of our own race. Ralph in Canada says, I probably got hit by a frequency because it's happened to him in the past. That could be, because some days, now sometimes I do things that I shouldn't do as far as eating and whatnot, and that can contribute to it, or I let my electrolytes get low. But maybe sometimes it could be these electronic warfare. So he's talking about this nationalism, again, which is biblical. We need to look towards each other. In fact, Malachi chapter 4 talks about the fact that Yahweh would send Elijah the prophet at the end of the age to turn the children or the fathers to the children and neighbors to one another. Your Bible might say, and the children to the fathers, but that's not in the Greek. In the Greek, it says, white men to their neighbor, meaning the white men start coming back together again, which, by the way, is starting to happen already, in my circles anyway. Many of our men are abandoning Babylon. They're abandoning the traditional marriage. They're abandoning a lot of other traditional things because it's all based on corporatism and Phariseeism. Okay, so they're abandoning all that, and they're starting to have time, since they're alone, going their own way. They're starting to have time to look to each other to form a fellowship amongst brothers at arms. Because they realize the trouble we're in, and that this is an attempt by the Antichrist, meaning the Jews, to genocide the white race. That's their goal. It's been their goal ever since the days of Esau and Edom. Okay? Edom, Esau hated Jacob. Hated him. The Jews hate the white man. Always have. Whether they be racial kin to Edom, Esau, or they just behave like Edom, Esau, as in the Khazarian Jews. Okay, it doesn't matter. You shall judge a tree by its fruit. Their fruit is hatred for all races that are not Jewish. They foment all of the stuff going on today. You will find shekels being used to buy Black Lives Matter, Antifa. That's all Jewish controlled and Jewish funded. You will find it in the World Health Organization. You'll find Jewish shekels controlling the Center for Disease Control, or we should say the Center for Disease Creation, because that's what they are. Okay, they own patents. How does a government agency, if it was truly government, how does a government agency like the CDC get to have a patent on a vaccine that they are going to in turn recommend be used by the public? Okay, that's a conflict of interest. In a white man's world, which is biblical, you cannot have conflicts of interest. It's against the law. And when I say the law, I mean God's law, the only law that matters. Okay, we've talked about the fact we need to repent, seriously repent, of asking for an earthly king. In other words, our ancestors asked for an earthly king. Today, that would be the equivalent of seeking an earthly government to solve your problems. Same thing. Okay, instead of going to the Father and his law, which would solve our problems, obedience to his law. Instead of that, we are going to the very agencies controlled by men, evil men, I might add, who created these problems. Okay, this is a form of idolatry. Another thing that our Heavenly Father hates it. Stop, and you know, look at the Ten Commandments. Doesn't it say I'm a jealous God? Yeah, I'm reading Ralph's note here. He said he just listened to Pastor Bob Jones' recent clip where he talks about John 3:16 is not in the original manuscripts. Ralph, that's true. I found that out many years ago when I first started studying the original languages. John 3:16 was not in the oldest Greek manuscripts that exist. It was added, okay? Now, and you can see why it was added, right? Because they had to get this universalism. They had to get this, well, got to think of everybody as part of the human race. There is no individual races. You see, the Jew must get you to accept that. Because if you stick to nationalism, if you stick to racial ties, that leaves the Jew out. And they have to be able to infiltrate all nations, particularly the white ones, in order to survive, because they're parasites. And again, I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you the opinion of other Jews. I've read their books. And Brother Nathaniel, Dr. McCall in Canada, Brother Nathaniel's out in Idaho, Benjamin Friedman in his speeches, they've all talked about this. So these aren't my words, okay? You can also read the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It talks about it in there. And recently, rabbis have been quoted as saying this very same thing in public. The Jews are the master race. They're the only ones fit to tell everybody how to live. I mean, just look at Michael Bloomberg. Tell me he doesn't operate that way. He's a Jew. Look at Governor Cuomo. Tell me that Jew doesn't operate that way. Look at the governor of Michigan, that little transsexual male to female Jew in Michigan. Tell me she doesn't operate that way. Okay. Look at the governor of Illinois. Another kike operates that way. The governor of Pennsylvania, another kike. The health director for Pennsylvania, another kike, transsexual. These perverts are everywhere, and they all operate the same way. And what did Christ tell us? You can judge them by their fruits. Okay? Bad fruit can't produce good bad trees can't produce good fruit. So when their fruit is rotten, it's because they are rotten. Do you think it's just a happenstance or coincidence that every one of these draconian measures being put upon everybody today is always coming from a kike? Look at the governor of Virginia, same thing, kike, another demonic antichrist kike, and you guys are all sitting around, geez, Dan, I can't figure out why this is happening to us. I don't understand, Dan. Well, do you think it's why you were busy playing softball, swizzling your beer, chasing females, entertaining yourself to death and wasting your precious time on trivial pursuits? Do you think that while you were doing all that and the kikes were busy undermining your society, that might have something to do with it? And you were busy lambasting people like me? Yeah. I've been talking like this for, almost 40 years. Almost 40 years now. Almost four decades since I woke up. I woke up to politics first, but I woke up to the Jew next. And here's the key, all right? Just like Yeshua said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yeah, you can't be set free from ignorance. You can't be set free from the abuse of an antichrist if you don't seek truth. And in fact, Yeshua said that you should seek the truth with everything in your body, with everything you've got, all of your energy, your time, your money. Okay? Yeah, female to male. Yeah, exactly. FTM is female to male, and MTF is male to female. They're transsexuals. Take a look at Bill Gates and that thing that he's attached with. Okay, you're going to tell me that that supposed wife isn't a tranny? Are you kidding me? Okay, that governor in Michigan, you take a good look at that, especially from certain angles. You can't tell what that is. That hag in Pennsylvania, the health director, is an admitted transsexual. And why do you think the big push to get pedophilia, homosexuality, and transgenderism pushed is always pushed by Jews and Jew money? Now you say, well, Oprah Winfrey pushes for that ban, and I don't think she's a Jew. Who the hell do you think put those millions of dollars into that misfit? Do you think she's actually that talented? She's like an Epstein and a Weinstein and all the rest of these kikes. Okay? The Jews at the top are filthy rich because they sit there at the computer. Hey, Steve Mnuchin. Steve, I'll be at the synagogue with you this coming weekend. Yeah, I'll be there. But in the meantime, Mnuchin, come on. We need $100 billion over here for Shlovo, so he can do buy up more Christian businesses. Now, Irv over in Illinois, he's got a bunch of Christians over there. He wants to drive into the ground, so he needs a couple hundred billion over there. So press them keys. Yeah, okay. Mnuchin, just remember now who the hell your boss is, okay? Don't be thinking that Trump and the rest of those cucks in the White House, you owe your allegiance to us alpha wolves within the Jewish clan, okay? Just remember that now. Yeah, we'll see you at the synagogue. Yep. Have a nice day. Yep, yep. Yeah, make sure it gets over there. Yeah, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll push them keys. I'll get that money right up there. There, a few seconds later, a couple $100 million, and they're buying up Christian businesses, buying up their homes, buying their labor, buying them dying in war, buying them stopping us on the highways. The Jew gets to have everything he wants simply by controlling the printing press. Now, for them, it's an amazing feat how easy it was to hijack our media and our money. The amazing part is how we let it happen. That's the amazing part. Just like now, with all of this stupidity going on, how many low IQ people there are walking in shoe leather? I knew the white race was in trouble when I read Charlotte Iserbeit and Elizabeth Dilling when they talked about the education system and how the Soviet Marxists, Jews, were debasing our education. I knew we were in trouble. I read other books too, but Elizabeth Dilling and Charlotte Iserbeit were two of the best. I had no idea it was this bad. It is almost like a true epidemic of low IQ behavior amongst people in general, but in particular the people of Adam, the Adamic race, who are supposed to be the leaders. I don't know. It's sad. Angel sends in here, says, Oprah is a male-to-female tranny, too. Well, that could be. I never really thought about that, but she does have some of those traits. She's almost as bad as Serena Williams. I mean, Serena Williams, it's obvious. And I'm sorry, if you're one of the people that thinks that that's actually a female, I feel sorry for you. I really do. Just like that governor in Michigan. If you really think that's a female, or Michael that's attached to Obama, Michael is a female, are you for real? No, your head's that far up your rectum, you don't know what's going on in the world. That's the answer to that one. Sorry. Calling a spade a spade. So we're in tough times because, again, we violated our father's law. We violated the common sense. everything that they warned us about, George Washington's farewell address, and on and on and on. It's I don't know. It's been an amazing journey. I'm going to have a birthday here pretty soon. I can't believe how long I've been walking this earth. I thought I'd be gone by now. Not because of my own behavior, just because the enemy would make sure I would not be here this long. And a lot of my friends, I try to tell them that, you know, our founding fathers, and particularly General Stonewall Jackson, said that duty is ours and consequences belong to the Father. In other words, our only job is to figure out what's the right thing to do. And then after that, let Father be in charge of consequence. And that's all I can do, and that's all you can do as well. Figure out what's the right thing to do. Right thing for you, the people you're responsible for, and our posterity. That's why I gave up on all the family stuff many years ago. Like tonight, my second granddaughter is graduating. The other granddaughter graduated a week ago. They're not actually having a ceremony because of the COVID virus. Totally ridiculous. But I'm not there to see it, because many years ago I decided what I'm doing now is more important than the family things. Because if we fail to stop this Bolshevik insurgency, if we fail to stop the Jews from taking this country over, they will do the same thing they did to my Russian cousins 100 years ago, and I don't want to live to see that, to be honest with you. If I have to sacrifice time with my beautiful grandchildren and my children, and even some of my friends that I care so much about, if I have to sacrifice that to destroy my enemy, then it's a sacrifice worth taking. I've read a lot of history books over the years, and many men better than me sacrificed a whole lot more than that. And they didn't even get as many years on this earth as I've been blessed to have. I don't know. Maybe it's because I pray Psalm 91 frequently, and maybe they didn't. I believe that Psalm 91 is true when Father says that those that call upon his name and do his bidding, he will satisfy with long life. That's the only explanation I have for still being here, is Psalm 91. I have no other explanation, because I have no other protection. The enemy's got all of the weapons. The only one they can't possess is our Father in heaven. And they cannot get around his law and his prohibitions against them harming us directly unless we invite them in. You invite Satan's kids in when you accept their bribery. You invite Satan's kids in when you sit there watching their mind-numbing, retarded television programming. You invite Satan's kids in when you take their pharmaceuticals. You invite Satan's kids in when you sit in their school systems. You invite them in when you get hooked on drugs or alcohol. You invite them in if you get hooked on pornography. Yahweh said all things in moderation. There's nothing on this earth that you can't have in moderation, other than poisons and obvious things. I'm talking about fruits, vegetables, herbs of the field, etc. And even loving your own wife and your children, everything else, you can go to excess on that too, because the only thing you should be completely absorbed with is the Father. That's why he said you're to meditate on him day and night, right? And the first thing in the morning, upon rising in the morning and going to bed at night, he should be the first thing on your mind, the last thing on there at night, not your wife, not your children, not your grandchildren, not this world, not your bank account, not your car, not your neighbors, not your entertainment, not your thrills. Father. Think about it. He and he alone is the thing that you're to dwell on. Not what these idiots in this world are doing. If you dwell on that, it'll drive you crazy. Literally, drive you crazy. And let me tell you something. It gets to me, and I've been walking with the Father for a very long time. And I believe it's that walk with Him that's allowed me to go through some of the trials and tribulations that I've made it through. And yet, it gets to me. There's days I have to shut the computer off and just get away from it all. Even put the take the cell phone, turn it off, and throw it in the microwave and just say, I got to have some peace and quiet. I got to have time with the Holy Spirit. I have to have time with nature. I have to have time with some very soft instrumental music or conversations with friends who are level-headed and rational and are able to soothe the savage soul. That's fellowship, folks. Why do you think Father says so much about fellowship? Why do you think Proverbs talks about the things that Yahweh abhors? Now, the word abhor means to hate something very much. One of the seven things in Proverbs that He abhors is anybody that causes dissension in the brotherhood. Anybody who causes dissension amongst white brothers. Now people say, well, Diane, aren't you concerned about the non-white folk? Yeah, I am, actually. But let me tell you something. If we lose this battle, what do you think is going to happen to them? When the Jew has total control and there's no white man to stand in his way, what do you think is going to happen to all these other races? Do you think the Jew actually cares? I'm just asking you. Honestly now, stop and think. From what you know about Jews, like Bloomberg and Cuomo and Governor of Illinois and Michigan and Virginia, Pennsylvania, and the way they behave, the way they act, don't listen to their words. You judge people by what? Their fruit, which means their actions. Actions speak louder than words. Oh, they've got sweet-sounding words, just like not caution the garden to Eve. Oh, sweet-sounding words. But what's the fruit? Evil, rotten, just like the tares. So you got to think about this stuff, folks. And what's going to happen to this poor world when they are raping the soil, the air, the water, the heirloom seeds that are contaminated with Terminator seeds or with hybrid seeds, creations that are outside of God's law? Okay, what do you think is going to happen when there are no more of us left? That's big mouth white guys sitting around like me pointing out the obvious. Okay, nothing special to me. Nothing special about me at all. I'm just pointing out the obvious. I'm pointing out things that every white man should be aware of on this earth. Why they aren't, I don't know. I can't answer that. I really don't know. But we're in a pickle, aren't we? So this concept of pan-European nationalism, I think, is timely. I've talked to many of our people who are concerned and want out of Babylon desperately. And every day that goes on, they want out more and more. I just had a conversation with one of the ladies who is extremely upset. She happens to be living up in the Northeast, and it's a hellhole. If you're anywhere near New York, it's a hellhole. And she's desperately looking for some of us to get together with community, but community takes resources. And it's like everything with our people. Our people have plenty of money to spend on, dare I say it, bullshit. But they don't have money to put towards something like that. And again, I'm not trying to throw stones or to be condescending. I'm really not, because I don't have much. I can't do it. I wish I did. I wish I had that kind of funds, because that's what I would do. I would buy up as much land as I could, and we would have our community. That'd be the first thing I would do. We'd have a place where you could come with whatever's on your back, whatever you can carry with you, and set up shop. and we're going to go back to the old ways. That's what my heart wants to do. Because that's the only salvation you're going to have, folks. They are playing with the labeling laws to make it even looser now, where they can substitute ingredients in whatever you're buying. So they could hide things like monosodium glutamate, which is a flavor enhancer, very, very bad for you, and other GMO items. They can hide them. Now they're going to be able to substitute wholesale items out of whatever you're buying, and still the label will say it's 100% beef or whatever. Okay, they've been doing this slowly, but now it's just coming apart at the seams. Because the Jew is in total control. The Jew adulterates everything. And we had labeling laws put in there to help those of us that are conscientious enough to check what we're buying, but they found a way to subvert that as well. So the answer is you got to go back to the family farm. We have to leave Babylon and do what our father told us. The end of the age would be like it was in the days of Noah. What happened to Noah and his family? They had to get out of Babylon and they had to go to a place of sanctuary while Yahweh destroyed the wicked. Correct? What do you think is going to happen now? So at some point in time, you and I are going to get the call through the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have an opportunity to pick up and get the hell out of where you're at and go somewhere with like-minded brothers and sisters who are willing to do things the old ways and are willing to fight and die to protect our families. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how it could be any simpler. He said, get out of the cities. Look at where the centers of all this degeneracy is and all of this insanity, high population areas and cities. He said, get into the countryside, forsake it not. I don't know. It's so easy to see this crap going on. I don't know how people can't see it. Long time ago, we told people that if you keep letting this unlimited immigration in here, the day will come when these non-whites are going to turn on you. Take a look around you, folks. And you still got white people bowing to the minorities, bowing to the idea that the white man should feel guilty, the white man owes these non-whites something. I say bullshit. No, don't owe him a goddamn thing. No, we don't. No more than I think anybody in Sierra Leone or in Libya or Ethiopia or any of those other countries or in China or Korea owe me anything. They don't owe me anything. I don't owe them anything. They don't owe me anything. Now, the only exception to that would be the Jew who has stolen much. He has stolen much on this earth. Stolen property should be returned to the rightful owners. Okay? That's the only exception. The Jew who is a master thief should be put on trial for their crimes against humanity, and if found guilty, their property and their finances, etc., should be confiscated and returned to the people of the earth. Because they are the master thieves, just like Yeshua said. They are here to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's exactly what they've done. And again, there's whole books written about these people. And many of them are written by other Jews, okay? In fact, Brother Nathaniel just put out a great interview talking to his fellow Jews about the fact that they are exposing themselves for what they are by pretending to be sympathetic to the non-whites when in fact they're just using them. And they brag about this in their own circles and in their own writings, that they would use the dark races to go after the only race that the Jew cares about destroying. First, eventually they're going to destroy all races. They'll leave a few around to be slaves, but they'll destroy many, many hundreds of millions. Okay, the only race that they're really concerned about is the white man, not the white woman. She's too easy to deceive for the most part. Just like Eve in the garden, nothing's changed since Adam first got here. Eve was deceived. Adam let it happen. and we've been paying for it ever since. That same scenario is happening out today. Okay, our women fall for all of the nonsensical crap coming across electronic toilets. And not all women, obviously. I'm talking in general here. Okay, you can't talk specifics because there is an exception to almost every single rule. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. Just like people say white man can't jump, and I watched a video of a young white guy that were putting the black guys to shame. So what about that? Oh, white man can't jump. Well, this white guy was jumping higher than any of the black guys that were there. He put him to shame. It was amazing. I couldn't believe the guy could do with a basketball what he was doing, and he could jump that high. But he was white. Okay. So, again, everybody makes rules, and there's always exceptions to the rules. So, in general, generalities. So Eve, again, was deceived, and Adam took part in all that. We've been paying for it. We're paying for it now. Our ancestors were told that these creatures that we call Jews today, back then they were called many other things, but they are instigators, liars, thieves, deceivers, poisoners, murderers, assassins. And that's their history. If you want the United States to return to normalcy, then it has to go back to the people that found it. Because it's our work and our ethics that built this nation. Even the black preacher in Harlem, James David Manning, will tell you that if the white people don't take it back, it's over. And he's telling that to his probably 98% black congregation and across his radio ministry. And Pastor Manning, James David Manning, is a PhD, so he's not a dummy. He's gone to college or university, and he's got a PhD. So again, he's not stupid. And those are his words. You black folk need to understand something. If the white man is taken from power here, it's over for all of us. Because they are the ones who allowed all this buildup, this civilization, and this tolerance to these other races. If you think when the Jews take over, that's going to happen for the non-whites, you're crazy. Just look at the Palestinians in Israel. You'll get a good taste of what happens when they come to power. Okay? Just get an honest video report of people like Charles Carlson, who I had on this program with the We Hold These Truths ministry, who spent time in Israel and reported to us on this radio broadcast what he saw over in Itzalai and how they were murdering the Palestinians and destroying their homes and everything else. Okay, that's what Jews do. Now, just take Palestine and apply that to the United States and Canada, and after them, to the rest of the world. Is that what you want for your children and grandchildren? I don't. So we have to think about this nationalism. And the fact we have to abandon the old ways. The two-party system has failed us. The parliamentary system in Canada and the United Kingdom has failed you. You have enemies of your people sitting in seats of power, such as the Prime Minister of Canada, the Prime Minister in England, and even the royal family. They are all interlopers. They are all aliens. They're all enemies of our people. Ralph in Canada says that his grandmother lived through the Bolshevik Revolution and survived, and she told him to beware of the Jews. Yeah, when I was a boy in the 50s, my elders often spoke of not trusting Jews openly. That was common knowledge amongst the... In fact, I don't even know if we had any Jews in the small town I grew up in. If we did, I didn't know who they were. There weren't very many of them. My grandmother did say there were some in town, and she didn't like them, and she didn't trust them. So With the advent of these electronic toilets, we've been propagandized to turn away from common sense, rational thinking, and to accept the big lies, like the Holocaust, diversity is our strength. These are all Bolshevik terms that are pumped into our heads through the media. And remember that the master propagandist, the Jew Bernays, said that it wasn't Adolf Hitler that said it, or even Goebbels. It was the propagandist Bernays, the Jew. If you tell a lie often enough, tell a big one and tell it often enough, people will believe it. Just like this pandemic. There is no pandemic. But because they control the media and pumped it into your head day in and day out, the people that are plugged into these toilets, they actually believe there is a problem that we need to be concerned about. The problem you need to be concerned about is the fact that, first of all, you're dumb as a box of rocks, you're plugged into these toilets, and you're letting the Jew tell you what to think. That's your problem. And you're letting criminals like Fauci and Birx have a voice on the media as if they're good people telling us the truth. They're not. Any of these governors, they're not. I don't care what governor you're talking about. They're not for us. Most of your county government is corrupt as hell and full of infiltrators. The scriptures tell us at some point the house of Jacob, Israel, that's us, our people, will be cleansed. The cleansing and the judgments will begin in the house of Israel, Jacob. That's our people. So he's going to clean our ranks. How he's going to do it, I don't know. But he will clean it out and separate those of us that love the Father in truth and those of us who are working with the enemy. After he's done working with his own children, he will turn his attention on the rest of the world, and it will not be pretty. The Bible talks about weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is a biblical way of saying great anguish, great pain and suffering. So our enemies are relishing the fact that the white race is in a downward spiral right now, that our people are buying into all this absolute insanity, and there's no formal resistance. But I would remind you that there were prophets that told us, and I believe it's in Revelation, where it talks about the restrainer. Now, a lot of people wonder what the restrainer is. I think the restrainer is the Holy Spirit itself. Back before the internet, when I used to give talks in front of groups of people, I would often ask the men how many of them had weapons. Almost all of them did. Almost all of them had Germanic blood in some part of their family. And I used to ask them, just for curiosity, how many of you own a battle axe, a spear, or a sword? And the greater majority of them did. So our people are not only armed with the military type weapons of today, our men are also armed with crossbows, longbows, swords, spears, battle axes, maces, the weapons of warfare from eons ago, when our armies marched and were invincible. Now you might say, well, what does that matter? It matters because at some point our people that will have the restrainer taken away. Because in those same meetings, after I ask about the weapons, I would ask, do you men feel like you've got an invisible hand pushing you back on your chest? Because I know you men want to go to the battlefield. I know you do. You're tired of sitting around watching this world suffer at the hands of these monsters. And you're itching to take those swords and use them, whether they're in the form of an AR-15 or it's literally a 3-foot or 4-foot two-handed sword. But you've got that invisible hand pressing you, not yet, not yet. Once the Father takes that away, our men will take to the field. I believe with all my heart he's got his soldiers already picked. I believe he's got the military commanders already picked. And we're just waiting for the sign. Why we have to witness this complete insanity that's going on now, it's got to be part of the end day solution. Because think about this. What else would get our people's attention other than something this severe? What else would get our people thinking about homeschooling? They weren't interested a year ago or 2 years ago when I used to talk about it. They weren't interested in what the pharmaceuticals are doing it to them until this all came about. They didn't have time to watch or listen to any videos until this all came about. They didn't get disgusted with television programming and the fake news until this came about. They didn't have a mistrust of man-made government until this came about. So those with discernment, this is working to our favor. It is awakening that valley of dead and dry bones. Again, Father Yahweh can use any event on this earth to awaken the sleeping Israelites. Okay? So just remember that. As we see all this mayhem and think all the negative things, you, as a son or daughter of the Most High, you have to keep your energy in the positive zone. You have to be thinking positively about yourself and your family and all of us as a family on this earth. So keep your vibration and your energy levels in the positive zone. The enemy feeds off your fears, anxiety, and hatred. They do. I can remember when I stood in the courtrooms and sometimes in police stations when I was being put upon many years ago by the enemy. And I noticed that one thing they can't stand is when you're in their midst and you're not afraid of them. They don't know how to take that. They really don't. They're so used to our people behaving just like a docile sheep that they are, I wouldn't say necessarily terrified, but they're certainly afraid of a white man that knows who he is and has faith in the Father and stands his ground. It's just like the book says, when the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. They may not literally flee from you, but they flee from their agenda. They flee from trying to push you around. Just think about that. So that's the stand that we should all be keeping in mind as we go into these dark days. And they are going to be dark, folks, because the enemy is rising up very high. The tares, as in the parable of the wheat and the tares have risen very high. The tares being, of course, the Jews, but also all of those under the influence of the Jew, such as Black Lives Matter, these corrupt governors, these corrupt politicians, these corrupt teachers and university people bowing and kneeling to these damnable rioters. They're all cucks. They're all Marxists. They're all pussies. They're not of us. A real man of Yahweh wouldn't be caught dead doing that. So they're identifying themselves as part of the tares. Yahweh said that he would separate the tares from the wheat, lest we do what? Accidentally destroy the wheat, because we think they're a tare. See, the Father knows who the tares are. So he said, I will bundle them up, meaning I will identify them. I will put them in groups. What's happening? The leftists, Marxists, Jews are in groups, are they not? Is it not easy when you look at the electronic toilet to see the terrors in front of you? When you go out in your community, is it not easy to spot the terrors? Yeah, they're easy to spot. They got this thing hanging off their nose and their chin. They're sitting in fear in their houses instead of being outside where Yahweh says you get fresh air and sunshine for good health. They're hiding in their houses. They're identifying themselves as a terror. They snitch on their neighbors, therefore identifying themselves as a terror. You see, biblical prophecies unfolding in front of us. So anyway, I wanted to just bring you a little bit of an update there. There are so much going on day to day. I mean, it's really almost difficult to keep up with it. I do want to give a good report, though, that the roof work, we finally finished the first coat of the mastic material on the roof yesterday. And got enough sunshine for it to set up, and today it poured down raining, and the leaks appear to have been fixed, and the roof not only looks good, but is working so much better. So praise Yahweh. We say praise Yahweh for that. This solution is cost effective, a lot cheaper than putting a whole new roof on a house. And so, you know, it was a struggle. There was a huge learning curve. Yours truly made mistakes. But in the end, I think it's all working out so far. Now when the weather clears up, we'll go put the second coat on, and then it should be a done job. But it's like everything. If you're willing to work at it, it can be fun, entertaining. You can learn from it. And when you sit back at the end of the day, you're tired, you're sunburnt. But you look at your work that you accomplished and you can feel good about yourself. You learned something and you did something good. So, you know, take that as a lesson. There is a lot of good things going on, folks. I know we get caught up in this negativity that's out there, but try not to let it get you down, because that's, again, the enemy feeds on it. Don't ever forget that, please. The enemy feeds on it, and it takes us down. And the reverse is also true. When we stay positive, we stay focused on the prize, which is us coming through this fire, and on the other side, putting the enemy in the dirt where they belong and building this world back into the paradise that Father intended. That's what we're going to do. I don't look at this world staying the way it is right now. This is a transition period. We're in the birth pangs of the new earth, the new heaven and the new earth. So we're like the beautiful woman that's in labor. We're like them as we're laboring for the kingdom. We're laboring through this period of time, and it's difficult. Of course it's difficult. Ask any woman that's given birth. Tell me, it's not exactly fun to lay there and go through the contractions and the birth pains. But the one thing I have noticed, and with all six of my children, once the baby is born and you can see that all the fingers are there, the toes are there, the eyes open up eventually, not right away, but everything looks to be normal and everything's functioning, etc., the joy is overwhelming. In fact, it is so overwhelming that a lot of that pain just sort of vanishes. All of that anguish and struggle just sort of dissipates. And that's why the Bible refers to us going through this period as a birthing period for the kingdom and for the new heaven and new earth, because that's what we're going through. So we're in the dark part. We're in the painful part. The exasperating part, because we want it to be done already, just like the woman in labor, especially when labor is extended for some reason, some kind of problem or difficulty. I remember my first son with my second wife, We were in labor in the labor room for, I think, 16 hours. It was a long-ass time. That's all I know. Long-ass time. And so everybody was getting frustrated and exasperated and tired and irritable and snapping at each other. But once he was born, again, he turned out to be one of the jewels in the family. And in fact, I have to admit that there's quite a few jewels in the family, but he was a very special child. Has always been a very special child. So hang on to that, that yes, it seems like it's taking forever, but this is the birth pangs of our new world, and our enemy has but a short time left. And our prophets told us, and Father told us, that his anger, the enemy's anger, would be great because he knows it. They're being exposed. Why do you think they're putting us through all this? They know their days are over. The awakening is happening just as it was foretold, and they know what their end is, and it's not pretty. They will pay for all of the death and disease, rape, murder, pillaging, transgenderism, pedophilia, cannibalism, all of these monstrous things that they've done. They will pay for that. Stay on the high ground, folks. Don't let them take you down into the ditches with them. Stay on the high ground. And keep looking to the bright future for us and our people. As it says in Scripture, they will be dust under our feet. That's a biblical way of saying they will be reduced to nothing. And we will tread upon them into the dirt, because that's all they are, is scum. So don't go down in the gutter with them. Stay on the high ground and lift each other up. This is a time for fellowship and discipleship. If a brother or sister is having some difficulty, hey, a phone call, a text, a letter, a card, whatever. You'd be surprised. So I don't think we have any callers. Nope, no, we don't. And so I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. And we'll be back with you on Sunday. We'll have a broadcast, of course, before then, if something appears to be happening. Oh boy, I'm going to tell you, this is an amazing period of time, okay? But we're alive. We have front row seats for the end of the age. Don't forget that, folks. So, oh, I had a verse I wanted to read. And how about that? I got clear up to all this time and I didn't even read it. Psalm 68, verses 4 and 5. Sing to Yahweh God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. To Yah, his name. How about that, huh? To Yah, Y-A-H, his name. I am that I am. Rejoice after him, a father of the fatherless and a defender of the widows, is Elohim God in his holy habitation. Folks, we are to emulate our Father. And what is he? A father to the fatherless and a defender of the widows. A widow, you could substitute for widows, is our ladies who do not have a male cover. Men, are you paying attention? We've talked about the patriarchal family out there. We have a lot of our very deserving women who are uncovered legally in Yahweh's law. Uncovered. They do not have a male in their household. So you men need to pay attention to what I'm telling you. Okay, I don't want to hear this. Oh, well, I already have a wife, and, you know, Dan, I don't think she would, little lady, I don't think she'd like it if I was to help one of the widows. Really? Ladies? You don't care about our race? Okay, you were fortunate enough that you have a man, but what about the ladies that don't have a man? So you're going to say we're not going to help the other widows? Do you think Father would look lightly upon that? I'm just asking you. It says it right here in Psalms. It should say it in your brain. The Holy Spirit should be testifying to you. It's a time to look out for our whole family, the whole family. And not be so narcissistic about your own situation. If you're capable, men, of covering more than one woman, then you should do it. And we could go on about that particular subject for hours. But we've talked about it plenty of times, and I think we're going to live to see the whole reason for that situation in the very near future. So start thinking about it now. Let that roll around in your brain. You don't have to come to a conclusion tonight, but you men and you ladies need to be thinking about what our Father expects us to do, not what you want to do or what you think is acceptable. What does our Father think is acceptable? And what is good for our race and its survival? And as a closing thought, there's a reason the Catholic Church, under the control of Jews, promoted the whole idea of monogamy only. That's where it came from. You have to ask yourself, why? Why would your enemy put out such a policy, such a dogma, if it wasn't that it was harmful to our race? Think about that. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for the technology that you've given us to reach out to each other. And for me personally, Father, I want to thank you for the roof, for change, no water leakage. So your blessings there, your blessings in the brothers and sisters that I'm in contact with that are working with each other, lifting each other up. That is a wonderful thing to see and hear and participate in. Those that are on the ledge, Father, bring them back in. Send the Holy Spirit to them. And then wake up our brothers and sisters that they might talk to one of their own that might be going through a rough time. This is a time for the family to circle the wagons. We're under an assault like never before, worldwide. So the white men and women need to work as a team. And we men need to work as a team even more than anybody else. We men must form the vanguard of our race. We must be the standard for our people to look up to. So men, it is incumbent on you to be the best that you can be. You have to be a warrior. You have to be a scholar. You have to be a poet. You have to be a musician of sorts. You have to be a teacher. You have to be skilled to the best of your ability. Be somebody that they can look up to. And you have to be a reflection of our Father. Again, to the best of your ability. Father, everybody's under a lot of pressure right now. There's a lot of angst. There's a lot of frustration and anxiety. And it's hurting all of our people. I pray for them all, Father. I lift them up to you. That your Holy Spirit would bless them and speak to them. That you would soon put an end to this nonsense. We pray for your coming. That you would be our King and our Father upon this world. You created this world and us in it. Sometimes we don't understand how it works, Father, but you do. And we will not trust on our own understanding, but we will trust you. And again, we repent so much for our ancestors and the fact that they asked for manly government. That was such a big mistake. So we pray for your coming. We pray for the restoration of this poor earth. We pray for the wicked to be cast down, as Malachi tells us in chapter 4. We pray for them to become fertilizer for the plants of this world, that they be gotten rid of so they could no longer plague mankind. We pray for those who love truth and justice and mercy, that they be lifted up, and all of the criminals will be put down. Be with us all, Father. Forgive us our individual sins. Give us a strong backbone, clear vision. Help our men to be true standards for their family, for their neighbors, and for each other as we circle the wagons for these end times. And always, Father, we ask that you would protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.